smile and say amen.
Amen.
We're so thankful to Almighty God for his love and his mercy, the blessings of being able to arise from our beds, to be assembled here on this day to worship God in spirit and in truth. We're so thankful for all those that are here, and our prayer is your being here. We hope and pray that the things that we share, the things that we speak on this morning will be helpful to you in your everyday life, but especially in your spiritual walk with God. One of the things that Christians need to be mindful of all the time, and that is keeping that right balance in your life. God knows that you have a job, you have a family, you have all this other stuff that many times we give too much attention to and less attention to him. And we need to have that balance to where God is getting what he wants from you so that he can bless you in the things that you want. See, we get our priorities mixed up sometimes. We think that God ought to give us everything that we want, and we get to him when we can. And that's not the way God works. We don't see that nowhere in Scripture that pans out for folk who think that way. And we're just so thankful that God has blessed us in many ways. And I guess each individual has to come to the conclusion as to how much you think the Lord has blessed you. I think sometimes when you hear some people talk about how God has blessed them, I've seen it where it kind of turns some folk off. Amen. Yeah, because there's some folk who don't mind letting you know that they are blessed, but then there's other folk who, they look at that as a negative. They look at that as you just bragging, you just this. Well, when you look at your own life, if you know God has blessed you, you ought to be able to let it show through what you're doing for him, not necessarily by what's coming out of your mouth. There are folk who say they love God, say they praise God, but it's nothing as to what God has said. And so when we come together, we're coming together so that we can have a better understanding of our God, ourselves, our brothers and sisters in Christ. All of that is found in the instructions given to us by Almighty God. I want to just remind all of, inform, I should say, all of you who may be interested that our website for the West Coast Preachers and Leaders Forum is up on our website now, so you can go there and you can find the information needed if you want to participate in the West Coast Preachers and Leaders Forum. Also, I want to say once again to our visitors, we're so thankful that you're here. We consider our visitors as our honored guests. We believe that nobody is here by accident. We believe that God's hand is in all things that pertain to God. And your being here with us is a blessing. I had the blessing of being able to pick up Sister Doris Dansby, Sister Fox, who was the speaker for the Ladies' Day program, and Angela. I didn't get Angela's last name, but I was told that that this young lady is the neighbor of the Dansbys. Amen. And she is a new convert in the Lord's church. Think about that, a new convert that's willing to travel that distance for a Ladies' Day program. And we can't get grown Christians to go across the street sometimes. Something's wrong with that picture. But I just want to thank them and all of those who are in town visiting because of our Ladies' Day program. We want you to know that we really appreciate you. My wife and I want to thank you, all of you who participated in helping the Ladies' Day program to be a success on yesterday. I'm told, I was given a note here that, I was going to say they better be here, that today is Brother and Sister Joe King's anniversary. Didn't tell me what number, it just said this is their anniversary. So we can wish them happy anniversary. And then all of our July babies, all of y'all that was born with a firecracker, we want to say to you, happy birthday. Independence Day, huh? Did it cause some of you to be independent? Is July people independent? Some are, aren't they? Yeah, it's Independence Day is in that month. So, yeah, but we are dependent, amen. If we got good sense, we will be dependent, and that's dependent on the Lord. We don't want to be by ourselves in this sin-sick world trying to make life work. My focus this morning, my title this morning, is When Jesus is in the House. Amen. I want to make sure I can get us on the same page before I even get started. Do you believe the scripture, the passage where Jesus says, when two or three are gathered together in my name, where is he?
Jesus.
Why are we here this morning? In the name of Jesus. We're here because this is what God has required us to do. Is that right? So I hope you believe that Jesus is here. Now, I'm going to say to you, whether you believe it or not, Jesus is here. Now, he may not be with you, but Jesus is here. And when Jesus is in the house, there's some things that ought not be, and there's definitely some things that ought to be. And I think sometimes we lose sight of what those things are, and we find folk doing both. And that's not good. So we hope and pray this morning that we'll be able to help you understand. I'm coming from two focuses this morning. One is our topic for the month. Let me see if I can get just a little bit of help. Somebody at it other than those who put it together. What is our topic for the month? Missed opportunities. Think about that. Missed opportunities. What is my lesson title? When Jesus is in the house. Don't you know that oftentimes when Jesus is in the house, there's a lot of folk that miss the opportunity of being and drawing themselves closer to Jesus? Why? Because they're focusing on other things, other people, and that shouldn't be. We're going to be in the book of Luke this morning, Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, and I want you to meet me at verse 36. Luke chapter 7 and verses 36, and I want to go ahead and finish preparing us for the focus for this morning. The question, how often have you missed opportunities in your life? Whether it be for promotions, a new job, to meet new people. Don't you know there's a blessing in meeting new people? You get stuck with the same folk all the time. Y'all start thinking alike, acting alike, and it's not always good. It's good to meet new people, but sometimes we miss those opportunities, opportunities to show your love, opportunities to express an idea, and so on. How about in our spiritual walk? Do you miss, have you missed opportunities by not attending Bible classes? Do you ask questions when you're in Bible classes? Are you able to help others to be able to understand and obeying God's word? If you can understand it and you can obey it, don't you know you ought to be able to help others? But also, you need to be aware of how often have you missed opportunities to do just that? And what is it that caused you to miss those opportunities? A lot of issues in our own personal lives can hinder us from doing going forward the way God would have us go. How many opportunities have you missed showing your love for Jesus because you were too busy paying more attention to others than you were to him? When Jesus is in the house, few questions need to be asked. Why ask others about him? I didn't even get a grunt on that. I'm trying to make it real for you. If Jesus was in the house, how many of you would ask somebody else about him? When he's right there in the house, maybe you don't feel that you have that kind of relationship. Hello? Maybe you're afraid that if you ask him questions, he might blast you out. That means you don't know the Jesus, the Lord, that we are talking about this morning. That means your relationship with him must be in a little bit of trouble. If he's in the house, why ask somebody else about him? Why even talk to anybody else? Hello? When Jesus is in the house, you ain't got no business out there murmuring to one another. But if you got an issue with him, take it up with him. Amen. I'm going to try to stay on the lighthearted side if y'all let me. And the way y'all can let me and help me is let me know that you're hearing what I'm saying. And even if you don't agree, you don't have to say amen, but I'll be looking. Just don't frown up either, because if you frown up, then I think I touched a nerve and I need to work on it. So get the picture now. Jesus is in the house. This morning, how many folk is going to miss an opportunity to bring their lives more in focus with what God wants, as opposed to coming through the doors one way with one attitude and leaving the same way you came? People do that often. The question becomes, wow, boy, that was a waste of time for them. But we want to try to see if we can't move and motivate ourselves through God's word to be better today than we were on yesterday. When Jesus is in the house, why invite him in and not treat him with honor, trust, and dignity, knowing who he is? There are folk who say that they just ask Jesus to come into their lives, and they still thuggish. They still have a bad attitude, bad mindset, but yet they'll tell you, Jesus is in my heart. What Jesus are you talking about? Not the Jesus who is the Son of God. You must be talking about Jesus or somebody else named Jesus. Because you can't claim Jesus and act like a child of Satan. Now, I say you can't. We know you can. But you also have to know that ain't going to win out. That's called self-deception. Amen. And that's what we have to be mindful of, that there are so many ways we can deceive ourselves. And if you want to be with the Lord when all this is over, you got to be aware of yourself, what it is you're doing, what it is you're listening to, what it is you're teaching. All of that's important for every one of us in here. You know, just about every encounter we read about in the Bible with the Pharisees and Jesus, they was always engaging in trying to trick him, trying to trap him, even to the point of trying to kill him. And yet Jesus still, persevered. They was doing this just because of what he was teaching and what he was practicing. In our lesson focus on this morning, there's a question that I just wanted to ask. There's a Pharisee named Simon who invited Jesus into his house. And Jesus accepted the invitation. Why did Jesus accept the invitation of a Pharisee who he knew that the Pharisees all had it in for him? Would you accept an invitation to somebody's house that you either knew, felt, or perceived that they didn't like you? Could be a missed opportunity. What fear? I don't know. Maybe everything that the Lord says to everybody just don't settle well. But if the Bible says, you know, don't fear man, but fear the Lord, and you got an invitation, yeah. Let me just call time out. I know, remember I mentioned earlier about the balance? Sometimes it may sound like, sometimes it does sound like, I'm going to talk about me, could be talking out of both sides of my mouth, that things seem to be contradictory. What I just said was, That's what caused the red light to come on. What I just said was, if someone that you know didn't really care for you, or you perceived didn't care for you, invited you into their home, would you go? We see here, again, we're talking about biblical examples now. We see here that Jesus went. We also know that Jesus had told you and I, don't be afraid of man. In other words, I want you to serve me. So even if it, in your mind, it may not look right to you, I don't want you to be afraid of the world, because while he was here, the world was always trying to attack him. But it didn't stop him from doing what he was sent to do. We can't allow things and our perceptions stop us from doing what the Lord wants us to do. So yeah, it does seem like somebody might be saying, well, it'd be foolish to go to deal with somebody and you know they don't like you. Well, Jesus said the whole world don't like you. There's folk on your job don't like you, but you go to work. Hello? But you see, we have some medicine that we need to take. It's called scriptures. When, in Proverbs, we are told that when a man ways pleases God, what happens? Now you can be at peace. You can deal with folk that you know don't like you, because you're dealing with them from the standpoint that Jesus wants you to deal with them. And who knows, you might convert them. Even if you don't convert them, and y'all just have that little visit or that little dinner, and let's say you get out of there alive, because that's what some folk are thinking, and you get out of there alive, guess what? You have planted the seed of, church, we have to understand that sometimes without saying a word, does not scripture tell us that we are to be a light? Your behavior, your actions can speak a whole lot louder than the words that come out of your mouth. And a lot of us have behavioral problems. We don't know how to behave in the way that can teach people or lead people or influence people. And that's what we're supposed to be about. But you see, you done took me down a road. Now I got to come back. I just want to make sure that you're not confused, because here Jesus went into the house of a Pharisee that we know all throughout scripture, Pharisees never had a kind word for the Lord. But yet he accepted this Pharisee's invitation. Aren't we supposed to be like Jesus? Are we not supposed to be afraid of men and people? Because see, if you're afraid, then there's a whole lot of folk that you ain't going to share the gospel with. Why? Because you're afraid. That's why the Lord would tell us, don't be afraid of man, what man can do. You be my representative. I'll go with you. I'm with you when you're doing what I tell you to do. It's only when you go to this person's house without the Lord that you need to worry. See, y'all done got quiet on me already, and they even got started. All right. I'll leave you alone for a minute. I'll be back. Why did this Pharisee invite Jesus? We're not told. We're not even told that this particular Pharisee intended to do Jesus any harm. But we are told that here's a person who really don't know Jesus. Everybody like him that he's familiar with hate Jesus. But he invites him into his house. Why? Okay. Then why did Jesus accept the invitation, knowing that these are the kind of people that he's dealing with? Well, Jesus' focus was to seek and to save the lost. When we get the balance in our life of understanding that wherever we are as children of God, he wants us to always be mindful of salvation and those who are lost. Hello? Salvation, your salvation. Your salvation depends on whether you want to obey God or not, do what he tells you to do or not. Their salvation depends on whether you tell them about the Lord or not. So when we don't do what we're supposed to do, we let a whole lot of people down, sometimes including ourselves. Y'all still with me? What's my topic? All right. Let's quick preview of the lesson. Go with me to verse number 36. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. The Bible says, And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And when he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. That's the introduction. That's the door. That tells us right there what's going on. Where is Jesus? In the house. Whose house he's in? The Pharisee's house. And as we talk about the Pharisee and the behaviors and attitude of the Pharisees, you have to do a self-examination. Would you invite Jesus into your house? And if you did, how would you treat him? How many doors would you lock before you let him in? Y'all know them closets? They talk about them skeletons. And some folk got bodies in their closets. It ain't just skeletons. I mean, what's in their closet is alive and well, but they don't want other folk to know about it. But Jesus is in the house, so now what? What's going to change? What are you going to do different when you invite him into your house that you won't do when you're out on the street? I think we miss a lot of opportunities to serve and show the Lord how much we love him because we're not really thinking or the way that we're thinking, if you will. There's a woman, the Bible says, who is a sinner. And there's other guests all assembled for this meal. We're going to see that Jesus used every opportunity to teach and bless people of all races. It didn't matter whether they were Samaritans, whether they were Jews, whether they were Pharisees. It didn't matter. Jesus taught whoever would listen. You and I have to be mindful to do the same thing. Whoever would listen to you, share the gospel with them, that's what Jesus wants. There's going to be more that's going to turn you down that's going to invite you in. And we have to be careful. These opportunities don't come the way we see them. They come the way the Lord presents them to us. And as God's people, we just have to know that and be ready when those opportunities come. We must learn to be more like Jesus and use every opportunity we get to show our faith in Christ and tell others, tell everyone we meet about our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Pharisees were what they call purist. They had a lot of rituals and ceremonies and traditions that they followed, and one of them had to do with always washing their hands. They had this cleansing ritual they went through for eating. And this guy forgot all about it when Jesus was in the house. The question is, was he so excited that he forgot his manners, he forgot his normal traditions, or was he really just being himself anyway? See, when you're pretending, you can get caught off guard. But when you are a certain way, it don't matter where you are, you're going to be that way. And as Christians, that's what God wants from us. You shouldn't have to, just because you put on a Sunday suit, act like a Sunday person. You should be a Sunday person Sunday through Sunday. Even on Saturday at the barbecue. Can't you be a child of God? Can't you act right? But they'll start reading for a minute. Read verse 36 again.
And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him.
Okay,
and he went down into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meet. And behold, a woman in the city.
Now, Jesus is in this Pharisee's house. And think about this, if you will, please. Try to go with me. Let's say I've just invited you into my house. And oh, by the way, Jesus is going to be in my house. So the Pharisee got other guests in the house with him. But Jesus is in the house. Here's a woman who shows up at the Pharisee's house. This woman was not invited. The Bible says, read verse 37 again.
And behold,
a woman who was a sinner. Read.
In the city, which was a sinner.
Read.
When she knew that Jesus sat at meat.
When she knew, when she heard, when she found out that Jesus was in the house, nobody was going to keep her out. As a matter of fact, nobody tried. Did they? Hello, y'all. This is your text. This is in the text. The woman ended up in this man's house. And not only did she just show up when she was aware that that's where Jesus was, the Bible says she brought something. She brought an alabaster box, read.
Of ointment.
Ointment, read.
And stood at his feet behind him weeping.
Read.
And began to wash his feet with tears.
Read.
And did wipe them with the hairs of her
wiped
head.
Wiped them with the hairs on her head. Now, here's a woman. She heard about Jesus being in the Pharisee house. That hearing caused her to move, to do something. She went into the Pharisee's house, but she went in humbly as a servant to serve the Lord. Why do we come to the Lord's house? No, that's what we're supposed to come for. I'm asking the real question. Why do we come to the Lord's house? There's some folk that come because it's Sunday. Okay? There's some folk that come, well, because, you know, I want to go to worship. But why do you even come into the presence of the Lord? See, it needs to start with your love for him, your obedience for him, and then your service to him. If we don't have those things in mind, then it's fair. It's a fair question. Why are you here? Why do we do what we do? Well, this sinner woman, and the Bible, I guess one of the questions would be, was she a disciple of Christ and just in sin? Bible doesn't say that. Was she just a sinner who knew about Christ, but she had heard enough to cause her to have faith in him to get her where she needed to be and to do the best that she could do? Church, watch this. The woman didn't even have water. She didn't bring water. The Bible says she washed his feet how? With the water God gave her. And she wiped them with what? She didn't even use that oily, soily dress. She used her hair to. That's getting very personal, wouldn't you say? What about your relationship with Christ? Is it personal? Is it just one of those things that you hear about, you read about? Church, I'm trying to just get us to make sure that you stay saved. There's so much that's going on in the world and in the churches to where people are leaving by droves. Why? What have Jesus done to them? Nothing. It must be some of those Jesus followers. Hello? Something is causing them to leave. Is it really the draw of the world that's drawing them? I'm talking about folk who was once in the Lord and faithful and has now decided to go do something else. How can that happen when he says, be faithful even unto death? Somebody has lost their focus. Somebody has lost their way. Read, I think verse number 38.
Yes, sir. And kissed his feet.
Kissed his feet.
And
I told you that's personal,
ointment.
Isn't it? Hello? Church members and visitors, I don't want you to raise your hand, but I want you to entertain the question. If Jesus was here personally right now, see, they already know where I'm going. That ain't right. But I'm going on anyway. How many of you would kiss his feet? See, I don't want you to lie to me. I don't want you to lie to God. And don't lie to yourself. But think about that now. Here this woman is. She's a sinner. She's not claiming to be anything but what she is. Christian folk claim to be all that in a bag of chips and won't do nothing that the Lord has said for them to do. You don't think that's a problem? Jesus, the Bible says, and I say the Bible says because Jesus is going to say the same thing, but we in what was written now. Luke says that, and she kissed his feet, read.
And anointed them with
ointment.
ointment.
Ointment. Now, if you look at folk feet, and you let that be the determining factor as to whether you're going to do what as a Christian you should do, you already got a problem. You remember earlier in the book of John, Jesus talks about washing his disciples' feet, those rusty, dusty, crusty feet that they had been walking all over the place in. Jesus washed their feet. But then he told them, I'm not doing anything to you that you shouldn't be doing for one another. He was an example, wasn't he? Somehow, this woman understood. That may have been a custom, I don't know, that you, I think it is, because somewhere over in Saudi Arabia, they still do that. They like to walk around for whatever reason with sandals on in the dust, but they have a foot washing bowl that in, when they're done, they go in and you see them washing their own feet or somebody else washing, that sort of thing. That's the custom over there. We got shoes. Amen. Come with me now. If we were teaching, and there are some that do, and practicing foot washing. See how quiet y'all got? Where would you be? Somewhere else. You know, if we can't see ourselves in Scripture and examine ourselves to see, are we there yet? Are we even trying to get there? Are we trying to get to a point to where we look like Scripture? Then what are you going to look like at judgment? That's what's going to judge you. Now, yeah, I know you're happy that we don't wash feet as a service in worship. Amen. But would you wash somebody's feet if they really needed it? Okay, I can't stay there too long. Verse 39.
Now when the Pharisees, which had bidden him, saw it.
Now, when the person who invited Jesus in, here's the question. Why did the Pharisee invite Jesus in the first place? Can you imagine me inviting you over to my house, and then when you get to my house, I'm busy doing everything else but giving you attention. Hello, would you come back? Church? No, there's some questions when I ask y'all, y'all can respond. I will let you know when you shouldn't respond. But that don't even make sense, does it? Well, this Pharisee, the Bible says, once he saw what the woman was doing, read.
He spake within himself, saying.
Listen to the Scripture and ask yourself, is that how you operate? When you see something you got a problem with, what do? Mumble, grumble, complain to yourself instead of speaking up about it. If you got a problem with it, why not say so? Church? The Bible says when he saw what was happening, what did he do? Read.
Saying within himself,
read.
This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is.
Now the very person that he done invited into his house, he's talking about it. Y'all know I know some folk like that in the church. And I'm trying to figure out why. What is it that will cause the person to do that? He's within himself, thank goodness, saying, if this man was really a prophet, did you invite him because he was a prophet? Why did you invite him? See, the Bible don't tell us exactly why the Pharisee invited him. That's why I always ask the question when I preach, why do you do what you do? God knows. You ought to know why you're doing it. Was it just so he can just say he had Jesus in his house? Hello? Read.
would have known who and what manner of woman this
if
is.
If he was a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman that was. But they ain't got nothing to do with you. Jesus is in the house. And you invited him. You know, if I had to sit down right now, this is what I would close with and hope you guys got. With us walking around claiming that Jesus is in our hearts. Hello? That would be in your house. And you have to let him in because he's not going to just barge in. And when he is in, when you are saying he's in your house and you are not giving him attention because you got so much other stuff going on in your life, you're missing an opportunity and you're probably going to have some serious problems at the gate. If you can't see that in the lesson, then it's just going to be a story to you when I'm done. But that's what I'm hoping you can understand. Jesus in the house, not necessarily meaning in four walls here. We're talking about him being in your house, living and dwelling in you. How are you going to treat him, and how are you going to treat other people? I suspect that those other Pharisees, he wasn't really too concerned about them because they were like-minded. Hello? They all didn't like Jesus anyway. So when he saw what the woman was doing, he now started asking if he was truly a prophet, he would know what this woman is all about. Read.
For she is a sinner.
She's a sinner. He's condemning her. We're all sinners. There's folk that do that with folk in the church. Read.
And Jesus answering said unto him.
Read.
Simon.
Simon.
I have somewhat to say unto
I
thee.
I need to say something to you. So right now, Jesus is about to do what Jesus does best. He's getting ready to teach. And he's getting ready to teach him about himself. You and I, brothers and sisters, have to understand that when you're reading your Bible, who's talking to you? Jesus is. And he's talking to you about you. You may be reading about other folk, but he's talking to you about you. We like to read what God says and then put it on somebody else. Then who's going to fix you? I know sometimes we might say, well, I don't need fixing. Well, okay, by whose standard? Jesus didn't die for folk who don't need fixing. He died because he knew everybody needed fixing. And they needed a way to be saved, and they all have to come the same way. All right, read.
And he says, Master, say on.
Okay, read. Now, Jesus is getting ready to teach him something. Just real quickly, 40 through 43, read all of that.
And Jesus answering said unto him,
read.
Simon, I read. Have somewhat to say unto thee.
Uh-huh.
And he saith,
read.
Master, say on.
Uh-huh.
There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50.
Uh-huh. Read.
And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both.
When they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Now, he tells Simon, after he sees and perceives all the things that Simon is doing, okay, he didn't invite him into the house now, they ain't even fed me yet, and he's already acting crazy. And so Jesus decided he's going to help him out a little bit, so he's going to do a little bit of teaching. So instead of just telling him what you're doing is wrong, he gives him this parable. And in the parable, he asks, you got somebody that owes a debt, one owes 50 and one owes 500, but yet the debtor forgave them both. And then he asked him the question. Watch this, read.
Tell me therefore.
Tell me
which
one
will love him
will
most.
Love him the most. Which one will love the debtor who forgave their debt the most? Now you know what we got to get out of that? Ain't too many of y'all in here going to lend somebody $500. Matter of fact, ain't too many of y'all that's going to lend too many folk anything. But understand what the message for us is here today. Understanding that Christ died for us. We are in his debt. A debt that we cannot pay. Yet he forgave us of all of our sins. The question is, if Dillard only had two sins, and I had a lifetime of sin, and the Lord forgave both of us, the question is, which one is going to love him the most? Now, you know how many sins you done committed. Well, maybe you don't. Maybe you can't count them as so many. And because of that, you ought to be one of those who love him the most. Now, you know, you don't want to get in no competition with nobody talking about, well, I love Jesus. Well, I love Jesus too. Well, I love him more than you. Well, I love him more and more. And I love him. And you're just constantly backing away from him with all that garbage. You show your love to God. And you show your love to God by showing your love one to another. Now, for those of you who got folk that you don't like, remember, you got to deal with Jesus on that issue. Jesus is in the house. You can't get rid of that stuff in your mind, knowing that he can read minds. Hello? Remember, Simon hadn't said nothing yet. The Bible says what was going on with Simon was in his mind. Simon was saying all that to himself. Some of y'all sitting up in here saying stuff about me right now. God knows. God knows. But I'm not telling you anything that you can't find in his word. So he gives him the parable, and then he asks him the question, which one we're going to love him the most? And the Pharisee said what?
Simon answered and said,
read.
I suppose that he to whom he forgave most
is going to love him most. Brothers and sisters, the Lord forgive you every day if you ask. Which means every day you sin, every day you ask him and he forgive you, shouldn't you love him more and more every day? I guess it depends on a lot of things, doesn't it? Verse 44, read.
And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon.
Now, this is the part that I wanted to kind of just kind of work with and show you. Now, remember, Simon is the one that invited Jesus in. The woman is there doing everything for the Lord. Simon is thinking in his mind bad thoughts about the woman. Jesus pulled Simon aside and talked to him and give him a parable that he answered correctly. And then look at what happens. After all of that, the Bible says what again?
And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon.
Picture this. Here's where I kind of act it out for you, because I want you to see it. Simon got bad thoughts. And Jesus done taught him with the parable to get his mind right. Understand, in this parable, the one who has forgiven, the one who's the most gracious, who has forgiven of all of the things that a person has done, regardless of how much it's been, should cause you to love him more. Jesus is in the house. Simon ain't been, in his mind, forgiven yet. The woman, who Simon knew was a sinner, and he's trying to condemn, don't understand that Jesus can forgive her and him. So after he turns to Simon and he teaches him with this parable, then the Bible says he turns to the woman, but he speaks to who?
Simon.
Watch what he says. Read.
Seest thou this woman?
Simon, you see this woman? Now, I don't know if he pointed or not, but I'm trying to put the scripture live. I'm trying to get you to see what scripture says. He turned to Simon and he says, see this woman? Read.
I entered into
your house.
Thou gavest me no water for my feet.
You didn't even give me no water.
But she has
now, actually, hold on. I got the scene wrong. Y'all didn't say nothing. You know, see? Why don't y'all act right? Y'all supposed to be helping me out too. Gee. Let me try this again. Simon is here. The woman is here. The Bible says he turns to who? The woman. And he's talking. I was right. He turns to the woman, but he's talking to Simon. Isn't that right? I was right. Why y'all do this? Okay, read. He says, Simon, I came into your house. I guess I need to point so I can make sure I don't get confused. I came into your house. You didn't even give me no water. Yet this woman washed my feet with the tears and wiped them with the hairs of her own head and put ointment on my feet. You didn't even give me oil or ointment for my feet. Read.
Thou gavest me no kiss.
You gave, and can you imagine? Jesus is talking about him, but he's got eye contact with her. How do you think she's feeling? She's probably feeling, and that's that perception deal. I know all of us are different. We all different. We just got to come to understand that. But I would think that the scripture's trying to get us to understand with her having the eye contact. Watch this. Who's getting the attention? What? Who's getting Jesus' attention? She is. Eyes on. Folk like attention when you got eyes on. Wouldn't you agree? But the message is coming to Simon. He tells Simon, this woman, read, from the time that I came into your house.
But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet.
Read.
My head with oil thou didst not anoint.
You didn't anoint my head with oil.
But this woman have anointed my feet.
But this woman has anointed my feet and my head. Read.
Wherefore I say unto thee.
Read.
Her sins, which are many.
Her sins, which are many.
Are forgiven.
Are forgiven. Don't you think she was happy to hear that? Read.
For she loved much.
She loved much. Read.
But to whom little is forgiven.
Little is given, read.
Forgiven, the same loveth little.
To whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. So if you're sitting out there this morning and you really think, allow yourself to think that you don't sin, then what you are doing to yourself according to scripture is you're conditioning yourself to you don't have to love as much because you ain't as bad as everybody else. See, a person who understands the nature and the damage that sin can do to their lives and they can get that forgiveness from the Lord, they have reason to love him. They have reason to worship him. They have reason to want to be in his presence. And we're trying to find out, why is it that we have folk who don't like to assemble? I want to say who don't like to come to church, but you know, they done blew that phrase. They done messed that up so bad. Who don't like to assemble, who don't like to come together as the church to worship God and to serve him and to learn more. Why is it that people don't want that anymore? Because somewhere in your life, you've gotten to the point to where you don't think you need that much forgiveness. If you don't think you need that much forgiveness, you're probably going to also think you don't need to love that much. See, that's Satan's trap. That's Satan's trick. And if he can get you and keep you thinking like that, guess what? When you see the Lord's face, it will be as he's leaving. Scripture tells us that also. What verse are you on? I'm going to go on and wrap it up because the audience quit acting right. So.
48.
Read 48.
And he said unto her,
read.
Thy sins are forgiven.
Read.
And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves.
Now. That's those other group of people. We saw what the Pharisee was like. We saw how the woman responded. And now we're getting a little glimpse of what's going on with everybody else who's at the house too. See, these other folk, they're at the table, they're in the house, and they saw what the woman was doing. They heard Simon say, well, maybe not, They probably thought, as Simon did, that this woman was a sinner. And they, the Bible says, said even within themselves, what?
Who is this?
Who is
that
this
man? Forgive sins also.
That forgive sins also. Well, if Jesus was in the house, how many of you would be questioning his abilities? Jesus in the house. Look at the behavior, Brother Coleman, that's going on with Jesus in the house. It's almost like they're acting like he's not there. And they are definitely trying to act like and forget that he knows the hearts of all mankind. That's why we tell folks, when you come and you sit up in here, and if your heart is not in it, God knows. If your mind is somewhere else, God knows. So if your mind is somewhere else and your body is here and Jesus is in the house, what good is it doing you? You're missing an opportunity to worship, to fellowship, to serve, to show the Lord how much you love him. And it seemed like it don't bother some folk. That's the scary part. It seemed like, so what? Give me verse 50 so I can take.
And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee.
So Jesus says to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Again, who was in the worst shape in the house? Who was in the best shape in the house? Well, let me tell you how my little gray matter works through this. Jesus was in the best shape. The woman was in bad shape, but she had a heart toward God. She was in pretty good shape because she knew and she was willing to admit her sin. The person that was in the worst shape is the person that owned the house. So when you and I come to really examine ourselves and be honest with yourself and realize how sinful you really are, and we take off that veil and quit trying to play like we are Christians, that's when the Lord can help us and teach us the most. Because remember, it's not about us, it's about him. What did the people ask at the end? Who is this man who think he can forgive sins? Well, see, he know who he is. And I try to tell us all the time, if you know who you are, you don't have to fall for Satan's trap. You do, you show who you love by what you do. Jesus showed that he loved all mankind by going into the Pharisee house. He showed he loved all mankind by forgiving the sinner woman who wasn't even invited in the house. Did you notice, even though she wasn't invited, she was doing stuff and nobody said anything to her? If somebody come into your house and start, okay, let's say you invite me into your house. Invite me into your house. And I come to your house, and Brother Dillard walks in after me, right? And so I'm the one you invited. And when Brother Dillard walks in, yes, he ought to get your attention because, first of all, he wasn't invited. But you should do something. You would do something, wouldn't you? Yeah, if you don't know him, you'll probably ask, who are you? If you know him, you'll probably want to know, well, brother, you know, this is a private dinner. Or would you just say, come on in, I'm glad you stopped by. Which one would you do? Now, we're in the house, you invited me in, he comes in, and I'm sitting there, and he goes to your refrigerator and get me a glass of water. Come on, y'all, stay with me. I'm trying, you know what, if y'all act right, I'll be done in 5 minutes. Don't act like y'all don't understand this. He goes to your refrigerator to bring me, his guest, some water, which is something that you wouldn't even do. He's the one that asked me if I need the bathroom or need anything. You're too busy looking at Brother Greg. No, you're too busy looking at him. Brother Greg is over there. He knows that I'm in your house because you invited him too. But he's sitting over there. He sees what he's doing. Greg didn't say nothing. You don't say nothing. And he's just taking care of me like you wouldn't believe. Who do you think I want to be around most? Who do you think I'm going to look for next time when I go? See, we miss opportunities to show ourselves to the world the way the Lord wants us to. All because of our hang-ups and habits and hurts that we have. We let that prevent us from the world seeing us the way God sees us and the way we could see ourselves if we would just stay in God's word. I don't know if you got the message or not this morning. I tried my best. You know, 45 minutes, I needed at least an hour and a half. Because, I mean, when I stop and I ask y'all something, y'all take 5 minutes to answer, that's 5 minutes gone. You know, I just can't go on and on and on. I have to teach a little bit. And when you act like you don't get it, it makes me have to try another avenue. Amen. So I just hope you understand one point of the message this morning. Number one, Jesus in the house. When Jesus is in the house, he should be your primary focus. When he's in the house, you shouldn't be worried about, thinking about, talking to anybody else. You give him the attention that he deserves. And he'll bless you. Didn't he bless her? All your sins are forgiven. And you still got haters. Why he forgiven her? I'm a good person. I ain't never done. Well, remember, she admitted that she had a lot to be forgiven for. You sitting over there all holy and righteous like you ain't done nothing wrong, which also motivates you or demotivates you from doing anything right. Amen. You think they got it? I'm going to have to stop anyway because the clock is gone. If you're here this morning and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, I do know, because the Bible says so, but we're in a time in our own life, in our own generation, to where people don't love and don't care or not even interested in the Lord the right way. When I say interested in the Lord the right way, I'm talking about the way he says. Before I closed my eyes last night, there was this program on TV. About, I don't even know the name of it, but it's called The Best Something. And it's kind of like this gospel festival thing that they have every year where you have thousands and thousands of people gathered and they are, in their turn, praising the Lord, doing all kinds of stuff. As I watched that, some of the moves they were making, both the singer and the choir members, as well as those in the audience, I thought it was a big disco party. They doing all kinds of stuff, saying all kinds of stuff, and, you know, they pointing to Jesus and all that. Can you see how that can be deceiving to where so many people think that must be right? That's not Bible. Just because they call on him don't mean that they are obeying him. Jesus said himself, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? And where can you read in scripture that he said do anything like that to him? That's for your entertainment. But you know what tends to happen? That stuff ends up in the Lord's church. And if you're not willing to take a stand against it, then you have to understand you're for it. Regardless of what you say, if you're not standing against it, you're for it. And if you're for it and God is not, guess where you're going to be? Brothers and sisters, we got to get a backbone. You know, this being this easy road, or I use it as Brother Hunter used to say, this riding on the gravy train with biscuit wheels and sopping, going to have to stop. God's people need to get busy doing God's work. Why? Because the world is drawing people back out of the church and definitely keeping folk from coming into the Lord's church. Why? Because it's not what they like, it's not what they want. God don't give you what you like, what you want, he give you what you need. And if you don't want to be saved, if you don't want to be saved, then all this is for naught. If you don't want to be saved, yeah, you need to go down there every chance you get. So at least you can have some happiness in your life, in this life, because you're going to have a terrible time in eternity. We have to make a decision. Our time, our generation is being challenged even more. And if you don't feel that there's something for you to do, then you're missing the opportunities to serve God, and there's going to be a price to pay. We love you. We're trying to keep the saved saved. So we have to tell you and show you the difference between what's going on in the world and what the Lord wants, what he requires of every one of us. He wants your love. He wants your devotion. He wants your attention. Why not give it to him? If you are not in the Lord's church, if you're not in the church of Christ, this is the way Scripture teaches that you become a member of the Lord's church, the church where God has placed salvation. You come by hearing, by believing, by repenting of your sin, confessing Jesus to be God's son, being baptized for the remission of your sins. That makes you a Christian. When you come up out of the water, all your past sins, like he forgave that woman of her sins, all your past sins are forgiven. And then he says, now just be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. That's simple, isn't it? Those are simple instructions, but it's hard for people to do. Why? Because they don't know how to love like the Lord loved. They don't give the kind of attention that the Lord asked them to give to him so that he can show them how he wants them to be. Be faithful unto death, and I give you a crown of life. If you're here and you're already a child of God, you're already a member, you have to understand, stop missing opportunities. You know, you may not agree, and that's fine. But we see Bible class as an opportunity for you to learn a little bit more. You can only get so much from a sermon. Y'all say amen. Let me prove my point. What was my topic? Okay, y'all wrote it down this time, didn't you? Oh, it's on the board. Cheaters. Wherever you go, make sure Jesus is in the house. And make sure you give him the attention that he deserves. And he can make your life free of sin, free of all of the stuff that we get caught up in. If you're here and you're a child of God and you haven't really been giving him the attention that you should, you can make that right now while we together stand and sing the Savior's invitation song.